opportunity. Let's just open up some prayer as we go into this service. Lord, as we come before you this morning, we pray that we come with the right hearts and the right attitude. May we come with the heart and the expectation of you talking to us, Lord. But also may we come with an openness. And as we dig into your word, may you speak to us. May you just highlight things in our lives, Lord, that we need to address, things that we need to bring before you and lay them before you. So we pray for your word to speak into us. Pray for your Holy Spirit to teach us. Pray for your Holy Spirit to enlighten us. And as we dig into your infallible word, may we mind the truths that you have for us. I pray, Lord, your blessing. Pray for your move, your spirit. And I pray for your touch. Pray and ask this all in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Have you guys ever been somewhere and you hear a word and you go, yeah, I know, I understand that word. And then you actually start to think about it and you go, well, wait a second, I don't quite understand what you mean by that word. And you kind of go into this like mode of trying to figure out what the person's actually said to you. And if you're a new Christian, this might actually be something that you're kind of accustomed to. Because you come into an environment where we say lots of words. And you go, yeah, I know what you mean. And then you go, no, I don't know what you mean. Because words have context, words have meaning, all dependent on where you are and the environment that the word is used. For example, let's just draw an example for you. So I come from South Africa. Now, if I said chips, what would you guys think of?
West Green chip shops.
There we go. So yeah, oily fries, wouldn't you?
They're not oily, but they're lovely.
Are they lovely? Do you have them double fried or not? But you would think of chips that have gone into oil, they've been cooked, come out, they're nicely, and you season them with salt, and they would go along with a nice piece of fish, wouldn't they? That's what you would think of chips, wouldn't you? Well, now you have to be slightly careful, because if you go to Africa or South Africa, and you said chips, it would depend on the context that you were using the word. Because chips, for us, could mean slop chips, which is what the oily fries are. We call them slop chips. And the South Africans, I can see them nodding their heads. You know what I mean? So slop chips. So that's one version of chips. If I said chips and I was looking at a packet of crisps, well, that's what I mean. It would be crisps. I made that mistake. I got to this country and I said, oh, I feel like some chips. And the guy looked at me and he was like, there's no oily fried chips around here. And I was looking at the Lay's salt and vinegar. That's my favorite. And one of my favorite. And he then tweaked and he went, oh, you're talking about crisps. So I went, yeah, okay, so that's how, so it's not chips, it's crisps. And even now I kind of slip into this, like, I'll say chips and I mean crisps. My wife knows what I mean. And then obviously there's another version of what chips means. Now, if you're slightly naughty, and this wasn't me, so I'm just going to put it out there, but if you were slightly naughty, you would go and do things like knock on people's doors. We call it tuk-tuki. And you would knock on a door and then you would like run because you knew that whoever's going to answer the door is going to probably smack you. And you would have somebody watching out. And if he saw some action coming along, he would go, chips, chips, here comes the police, or here comes. So it would be a warning as well. So now you've got to understand, if I say chips and I mean run, you're not going to be thinking of fried chips, are you? That's the last thing on your mind. So you got to think. And then there's obviously that common one, which we do have in common, which is a chip on your windscreen, which we all hate, don't we? So you're driving along and, oh, I got a chip in the windscreen now. So chips can be used in multiple ways, but it all depends on the context. It depends on the environment. Depends on who's saying it. And this is the same in church. We have the same kind of thing in church. Quite often we use words. And if you're kind of old in the faith and you've been in church life for a lot longer, you'll know what the person means. But if you're newer to the faith, you go, yeah, I don't get it. It's a word. And I want to look at a word today that I think has the same problem. We say it all the time. We sing it. We kind of like talk about it in Christian circles. But do we actually understand the meaning of the word? And that word is the word praise. Use it all the time. We hear it in the songs. We talk to one another and we say, praise the Lord. Do you actually know what it means? Have you actually ever thought about what it means? And do you know the context in which it's used? And I'd like us to dig into this, and I'd like to have a look and see what the Bible says. And if you've got your Bibles, I'm going to encourage you to turn over to Psalms 150. We're going to read 1 through 6. It's only 6 verses. But in my mind, so profound when it comes to praise. And it will be up there on the screen if you haven't got Bibles with you. I encourage you to get a Bible out. Maybe you want to highlight it. There's nothing wrong with that. People get upset when you say highlight in your Bible. Go on, make notes, do whatever. There's nothing wrong with it. Psalms 150, 1 through 6. The author writes this. He says, hallelujah! Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the mighty expanse. Praise him for his powerful acts. Praise him for his abundant greatness. Praise him with the blast of a ram's horn. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and flute. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, just to give us some context in that to what the author is saying, praise is used over 300 times in the Bible, in Scripture. Throughout Scripture, you will find praise almost in every book and almost on every page. That's how central it is to what we believe. 300 times throughout the Bible. So you can see it's a central theme. Did you know that it appears 150 times in Psalms? Now, that kind of gives you an idea of how important Psalms is when it comes to praising God. Because it is central to who we are. It was central to who they were and central to their lives. Now, obviously, as we read Psalms, we've got the luxury of having one book. And we think, okay, Psalms is one book. But did you know that it actually isn't one book? That might surprise you. It's made up of 5 volumes, which were written over a course of time. And then we brought them together and we compiled them into the book of Psalms. And I'll just give you a highlight of these 5 volumes, and maybe you can pick up a trend in it. The 5 volumes: God beside us, 1 through 41. God going before us, 72. God around us, 73 through 89. God above us, 90 through 106. God among us, 106 through 150. So do you think this book is all about us? I would say no. Psalms is written about God and how we interact with him and how he interacts with us. And Psalm 150, along with 46 through the last 4, if you take 146 to 150, are actually the pinnacle of the book of Psalms. And each one of them finishes slightly different to all the other ones. The reason is because each one starts with a call or a cry for us to praise the Lord, to hallelujah, hallelujah, and they end with hallelujah. And that's what makes these four books unique. And then you get to 150, and 150 is the pinnacle of this volume 5. But not only that, it brings the whole book of Psalms together, and it sums up in 6 verses. Praise God. Praise God. God. 6 verses that impact our lives. And that's why I think it's important that we get back to, what does praise mean? What does it mean if it's so important in the Bible and so prominent in the book of Psalms? And the verse starts off with hallelujah! Exclamation mark. Some versions might say praise the Lord! Exclamation mark. And if the word hallelujah, we sang it earlier, there was a song that said hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm not going to go singing, don't worry. The word is there. Did you know what it actually means? I'm going to go with the majority of us no, because only when I started to look into it did I understand what hallelujah means. It's made of a compound word. It's made from 2 Hebrew words. The first word is halal. Now, not the meat, because that's double A, okay? So this is praise. Praise. And the second word is Yah, and that is shortened for Yahweh. So you bring them together and it says, praise the Lord. Praise Yahweh. That's what hallelujah means. So every time you cry, you are crying an anthem of praise the Lord. And that's why there's an exclamation mark, because you should shout it out. You should declare it. Now, obviously, this raises the question still of what does praise mean? What does praise mean? And if you dig into the word, it actually means to brag about. To brag about God. Or to boast about God. More obscure meaning would mean to shine your light on God. To take a spotlight or a torch and shine it on an object so it's lit up and amongst the darkness. That's what it means when we say praise. It means to brag. It means to boast. It means to shine your light on something. Make it illuminate it. Illuminate it so that everybody can see it. How many of us go to work and we illuminate God? How many of us go to work and brag about Him? Do we find every moment to boast about Him? That's not a dig at you, I'm guilty as well. But we are to praise Him. We are to praise Him wherever we go and whatever we do. Be that school, be that work, be that at home with your family. We are to boast and brag about God. Let us not forget that. And I'm sorry if that kind of offends some of you, because it's not about you. It's not about you. I'm sorry to say it. It's about God. You're boasting and you're bragging about God. And that's what praise is. Praise is the active, outward expression of gratitude and reverence and adoration for God. That's what it is. It's an expression of gratitude, thankfulness, and adoration, building up. And reverence of God. So when you hear the word praise in amongst us, think of that. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about God. So I suppose that kind of raises some questions now in your mind. You're thinking, well, okay, I know I've got to brag about God. I've got to boast about Him. I've got to shine my light on Him. Well, who am I supposed to praise? Now, obviously, that one you should have got from the context of my talk already, and if you didn't, well, I'm doing a bad job up here. But we are to praise God. But not just praise Him. We are to praise Him exclusively and solely. That means just Him alone. There's none of you in it. You praise God for who He is. And for Him alone. And the reason for that is because He's created you to do that. Did you know that? We don't realize this, but we are created to praise. Isaiah 43, 21 says, "The people I formed for myself," this is God speaking, "will declare my praise." You are created to praise. Now, you might be going through a struggle in life, and you might, you know, you're trying to find your identity. Maybe you're a youngster, maybe you're a young Christian, or maybe you're old and you've lost your, I don't know. But maybe you're trying to find out who you are and you go, I have no purpose. I don't know who I am. You know, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I've heard all these questions and all these comments. Isaiah says that you are created to praise. That is what you are supposed to do. You are supposed to praise the God Almighty. The God who created you, your creator. That's why He created you. And you know what? He's a jealous God. He doesn't want to share His praise. He's created you for a purpose, so why should He share it? So when something comes along and you are divided in your attention for Him, He has a problem with that. He seriously has a problem because He is a jealous God. He wants your sole, exclusive devotion of praise. Nothing else. Nothing else. And that's a challenge for us, I think. As I even stand here and I speak, I am challenged by that. I am challenged by that. Where should we praise? The next question that might come to mind, where should we praise? Verse 1 says, praise Him in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. And from this verse, we can see that we are to praise Him in two places. First of all, He says, the sanctuary. Now, it's not a word that we use too much again. It's kind of lost, you know, its meaning. Maybe some churches you hear it, some churches you won't. So sanctuary actually means holy, consecrated place. Now, some churches, actually, when you come in, they'll say, this is the sanctuary. Because it's a place that's been set aside in which you go into, and its sole purpose is to worship and to brag and boast about God, to praise Him in the sanctuary. Now, like I say, some churches, we would just call it a hall. We kind of mix that term. Now, obviously, for the Jews, the sanctuary had a real significant meaning because it was the almost the holy, holy places. It was where they met with God. You can almost say it's where heaven met earth. And they had a temple that was built around the sanctuary. And when that temple was destroyed, they no longer had a sanctuary. So they have a problem. How do they meet with God in a holy, consecrated place that does not exist? And that's why you might hear of people saying, oh, the prophecies of they're going to rebuild the third temple because it's them trying to get another sanctuary so they can meet with God where heaven can meet with earth. But you know what? God in His infinite wisdom took care of that problem for us. The moment that we accept Him as Christ and Savior, as we accept and believe in Him, we become the living temple. We become the sanctuary of God. God meets with us inside individually. He can come in and He can talk with us. He can commune with us and we can meet with Him. So on an individual level, we can meet with God on a daily basis wherever we go. Because wherever we go, the temple goes. And hopefully the Holy Spirit has filled it. So you are in a sanctuary. You are a sanctuary, an individual sanctuary. But it goes further than that. Because a sanctuary could also be collective. So when we come together and we forsake not the gathering of ourselves, we have another sanctuary, a collective sanctuary, a sanctuary in which God can move amongst all of us. And the Holy Spirit can flow and move and ebb and do everything that He needs to do in amongst us. Corinthians 2, 6 and 16 says this, "For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people." So as we come together here and we meet on a Sunday, we are a collective group and God can move amongst us. So we become a collective sanctuary. We become a collective sanctuary. And that's why I think it's important that we should all be meeting here, because when we meet with God and He can move amongst us. It's so important that we forsake not the gathering of ourselves. Because then we can praise together, we can worship together, we can pray together, we can do life together. All boasting and bragging about God together. In the second place that the author tells us to praise is the mighty expanse. The mighty expanse. Now, some versions, I don't know, you might say, started King James might say firmament or things like that. Other versions might say heavens. So the word is kind of used there interchangeably. But actually, if you want to drill down and know what it means, the firmament and expanse and things like that, it means from a horizon to a horizon and everything in it. So the stars and the sun and everything like that, everything is all encased within this horizon to horizon scenario. So wherever you look, that's where we are to praise. We are to praise everywhere. So that means wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you see, that's where we are to praise. There is no exclusions. Now, obviously, we can bring that all together. And the key fact that we need to remember is that we are to praise God, both here on earth and in heaven. Because that's how important it is, that we come together individually. We meet with God individually in your quiet times or whatever that might be. That's how we praise Him individually. Then as we come together, we corporately do it, or we collectively do it, and we praise Him that way. And this all mirrors what is happening in heaven. All mirrors what's happening in our heavenly sanctuary. Because there is a place where Christ is moving in amongst the heavenly sanctuary, and he's going from place to place, doing what he's interceding for us and doing what he needs to do. And in this place, Leanne mentioned it earlier. She read Revelations 4 and how all the saints and all the thrones and everything like that. And if you go even further and you read the next chapter, Revelations 5, 11 through 13 says this: "Then I looked and I heard a voice of many angels around the throne and also the living creatures of the elders. Their number was countless, thousands plus thousands of thousands. They said with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and the sea and everything in them, blessing and honor and glory and power be to the one seated on the throne, the Lamb, forever and ever." So why do we not come together as a church collectively or individually and lift our hands and bend our knees and praise Him? Because we might as well practice what we're going to do in the future. One day we're all going to be in that countless throng. So why not get into the habit of doing it now? I'll leave you with that thought. But why should we praise is probably the next question that comes to mind. Verse 2, praise Him for His powerful acts. Praise Him for His abundant greatness. We are to praise Him for His powerful acts. Acts that we cannot measure. We are talking about a God who spoke things into existence. He flung the stars into the universe. He set the mountains in their place. He crafted the canyons, but He also painted the sunsets. This is the God of great and mighty acts and powerful acts. How can we compare anything to Him? We cannot make anything that would compare to this. And this is why we're to praise Him. Praise Him because He is so great and His acts are powerful and mighty. But there's an act that God has done that even that defies creation and the beauty of everything He's done. And that was the raising of Christ. He raised Him with great power and He seated Him. He conquered death. He bridged the gap. And through that, we can have salvation. We can have redemption. And that is the greatest act internally that we can identify. Everything else is external, or the mountains and valleys. But when we look at salvation, that's internal. That's us. God works a mighty act within us. He creates us new. He makes us new. We are new creatures because of His powerful acts. Not because of what we've done. We can do nothing. We can do nothing. Because we are simply created. And He is the Creator. So why should we not praise Him? Why should we not praise Him for what He has done? And then once we come into this relationship of knowing Him, we have the ability to come to Him, to draw from the wells of living water. And He supplies our needs. Supplies our needs. And on top of that, He gifts us with gifts that we don't deserve. He gives us gifts that we don't deserve. And then there's His abundant greatness. His abundant greatness would be His attributes, who He is. And our God is merciful. Our God is great. Our God is strong. Our God is righteous. Our God is loving. Our God is gracious. These are not things that we have or that we can interfere with or affect. This is Him. This is who He is. And I know Mike and even Stephen have been speaking over the last couple of weeks about the gift of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and prophecy. And Stephen spoke about the living water and drawing upon Him last week. These are gifts out of His abundance, not ours. We don't deserve these things. Yet God in His great abundant greatness and mercy gave them to us. He said, "Come freely. No strings attached. Come." This is the God that we praise. This is why we should brag about Him. This is why we should boast about Him. This is why we should put the spotlight on Him. We can do nothing. Nothing. Now, maybe you've come this morning and you've just come literally to tick a box. Maybe you're on a rota and you had to come, you know, to fulfill your duty. The question is why? Why? Do you do it out of service or do you do it out of duty? Do you do it out of praising Him or do you do it out of... I'll leave that with you just to think about. Let that sink. Do you do things out of routine? Or do you do them because you love God and you want to praise Him? This is not about us. This is about shifting our focus from us to something far greater than us. So taking the internal eyes and turning them outwards and looking and gazing upon the face of the Savior and the Creator, the one that gives you all. And there's no problem too small for somebody that has created everything. We often forget that and we think, oh God, my problems are too big. Everything is small to God. Everything is small to God. So why should we not come here? Be a little bit uncomfortable. Yes, it's hot, I get that. I'm sweating buckets up here, but hey, you know what? I'm up here. Come and get uncomfortable. Because you don't come and to do it yourself. You come to praise God. You're coming here to praise God. Maybe your schedule's a little bit busy. Don't know each of you. But maybe your schedule's busy and you know what? Sacrifice some time. Make an effort. God will see that. God will bless that. Because God has called you and He's created you to praise Him. Let's not neglect that fact. Can I suggest that all of us, we get a little bit addicted to praise? Can we get addicted to praise? Maybe we become too addicted to our phones and to our WhatsApps and all that kind of stuff. Maybe we need to put the phones down and, you know, there was an article this week that actually came out and said, embrace boredom. Because when you, I know that's counterintuitive, but embrace boredom. That's what they're saying. Literally, put your phone down, be bored. Because when you're bored, you start to contemplate, you start to think, you start to think outwards. And in those moments, that's when God can speak to you. Do that. Detox a little bit. Put your phone down. Embrace boredom. And embrace God. So become addicted to praise. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with kind of like putting some music on and I'm not going to dance, don't worry. But there's nothing wrong. And that brings me to how should we praise? Verse 3 and 4 and 5. Praise Him with the blast of the ram's horn. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with the tambourine and the dance. Praise Him with the string and the flute. Praise Him with the resounding cymbals. Praise Him with the clashing cymbals. Now, that's quite a broad list of instruments, isn't it? I think there's probably ones from almost each family. We would say wind and percussion, and I don't know all the others. I've lost track of them. That's years ago since I learned all that. But it's a broad list. Now, you might look at the list and go, yeah, that's a nice list. I don't play any instruments at all. And you think you're out, I can get out of this one. You know, that might be true. But there's some kind of lessons we can draw from it still. And I want to just draw these lessons. What I've kind of, as I've dug into it and I've looked at it and I've seen that, what can I use this for? And I think God has given me at least four things. And the first one is praise is for a variety of people. There's a variety of instruments recorded here, and they all have a different function. They all play slightly different, and you can't have one person playing two instruments at the same time. So it requires variety of people, does it not? So when we come together, we need a variety of people. We need each one of you to come with your gift. We need each one of you to come with what God has laid upon you. You are that variety, and when we come together collectively, the body can work. The music, the orchestra, it can play. And what a sound we will make when we all come together and play what we need to do each of our parts. So we need a variety. Then praise is an expression of heart. When I was growing up, I learned to play the guitar, classical guitar. And I did reassure Leanne earlier, and I'm going to reassure Paul over there because he's probably going to frown. I'm not trying out for the music team, guys. Please strike that. I will not be. But I used to play the classic guitar. Now, I was pretty all right. I'm going to say that. I won't say I was good. I could read sheet music. I could understand it. I could keep a good tempo. And I could keep in rhythm and everything like that. So I was all right. But I was just all right. I was just all right. You know why? As I look back and I reflect on that, when you play music and you play an instrument, you need a little bit of intent. You need a little bit of flair. You need a little bit of passion. Because without passion and flair, you kind of, all you're doing is playing what's on the sheet music. That's it, note to note, up, down, or scales, wherever you go. There is no feeling in it. And the greatest people that play music are the ones that can feel the music because they have heart for it. They have passion for it. And the same is for praise. We need to come with a heart. Don't just come here to tick a box. Don't just come here because it's duty. Come here with intent. Come here with a passion. Passion to worship God, to boast about Him, to brag about Him for all the great things He's done for you. So come with a heart. The next one is praise is not quiet. Have you ever been to an orchestra and you sat there and go, I can't hear them. It's dead quiet. Yet you can see them all playing up the top there. Have you ever been to that? You've been to an orchestra, what do you hear? You hear music, don't you? You hear sound. And that's why praise cannot be silent. Music is not silent. Music is loud, and it might start off soft, and it might build as it builds towards the crescendos and things like that. And you have the clash of drums and all that, and it comes alive. The same with praise. Praise needs to be loud. And that's why it says boast about Him, brag about Him, shine your light on Him. These are not quiet things. These are not quiet things. And when you hear it, hallelujah, especially when you're reading Psalms, you see, hallelujah, well, wake up. It's normally got an exclamation mark point. It says, shout it out, hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with shouting, declaring a voice, and saying, hallelujah, praise God loudly. And then praise has power. Praise has power. Have you ever heard a song and... you know, it's kind of in the background, and before you know it, you're tapping your foot. And you're going along with it, and you go, oh, a little bit of sway there. Yeah? You've been there, you've all had, and you didn't mean it, did you? There was no intent to it. But the song and the praise, and they get in, and before you know it, you're actually wound up in it. I mean, consider music. If you listen to real Metallica, I think is what you said. When you listen to that, do you come out feeling happy? Who has listened to Metallica? Eminem? Am I giving my age away here? What's a bad band these days? Huh? I don't know, but okay, let's quit that one and move on. But you can listen to a song and you go, and you're feeling really aggro, I just want to kill the world. And then you can listen to a song and it's like rivers, you know, that trickle through and it's nice and gentle, or the rain falling down. Emma goes to sleep with that all the time, so I'm used to it by now. But and you go to sleep and you can hear the rain and before you know it, you're like, oh, you're so relaxed. Music has power. Music can move you. And the same way praise can move you. Praise, as you get into it, the more you do it, the more you can, it kind of inspires you and it drives you and it can lift you up and it can chase those blues away. So praise God, because it's a matter of centering our focus on God, not on ourselves. Because when we look at our problems all the time, well, everything looks dull and gloomy. But when we look at God, everything looks bright and shiny. Now, maybe some of you this morning, you've come here this morning and you've crossed your arms and you've just sat there as we've been singing and praising. It's not a criticism of you. The question is why? Why? We're called to praise. Part of praising is bending the knee. Part of praising is lifting your voice. Part of praise is lifting your hands. There's obviously, you can pray as well. You can also do that. That's why Tuesday nights we come together. That's another way of praising God, lifting Him, boasting Him. But maybe you've come this morning and you've been a little bit reserved and you've sat there and gone. I'll leave that with you. Maybe there's something internally that you need to work with. Because when we come here, we should be alive. We should be willing to lift up. We should be willing to make a fool of yourself. David was willing to make a fool of himself. Why? Because it wasn't about David. It was about God. And he understood the meaning of hallelujah. Praise God. Maybe we've lost that focus. Maybe we need to draw ourselves back to that. And maybe you're sitting here thinking, yeah, I don't play instruments and things like that. But you know what? Verse 6 covers it all. The author finishes with, he says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the last time I checked, you guys were breathing, weren't you? Unless somebody's faded off and passed away while I was, I hope not, pray not. But, yeah. But you're breathing, aren't you? You all have breath. And praise should be as natural as us breathing. It should be something that living creatures do with every breath, every moment. We're to praise God, come before Him. Be that in your workplace, be that in school, be that in church, be that wherever you are, from horizon to horizon. We are called to praise Him wherever we go. Because when we come, we are exercising that sanctuary that's in us. We are coming together as a collective sanctuary, and we are working as a body. And you know what? I got this when I said this in the first service, but as we were going through the first service, I felt God saying to me, God loves a church that prays and a God that praises, because He can work with a church like that, because it shows Him that you're at the right place. Everything is about Him and not you. And in a moment, we're going to go into worship again. We're going to close with a song. And as the worship team... They did this to me in the first service. They vanished. Oh, there we go. We're going to go now into the time now where we are going to close off. We're going to sing a song. But can I ask you guys to stand? I know it's hot. I know it's... But we're not here for ourselves. And I want us to lift our voices. I want you to embarrass yourselves. Yeah, like I said. You know what? Make a fool of yourself. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Lift your hands. Kneel if you have to. Whatever you need to do. But I want us to go into this last song, lifting our voices, praising God, because He is the God that we should brag about. And we are going to go into this song, declaring and singing, hallelujah.